This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. Kathy Gray at the Free Press reported yesterday that the Michigan Senate passed legislation that would vastly increase corporate and special interest spending on campaigns. Joining me to talk about that are Vicki Barnett, the former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator, and Joe Hoffman, a former Republican state representative from Holland, and he served as the chair of the House Appropriations Committee. So, Vicki, if money is free speech, as the Supreme Court ruled in 2010, then it appears we could just have unlimited free speech in Michigan now. What do you think of this legislation?
I'm not a fan of the Senate bills that passed out yesterday and are on their way to a speedy passage in the State House. There's problems with it. There's also problems with not doing anything. We had an opportunity in the state of Michigan to really clarify what super PACs should be and to make sure that we had massive transparency in terms of accounting and spending on these things. There are over 70 super PACs, as reported by MERS in the news last night. There's already 70 super PACs operating in Michigan. What is most problematic about the bills that were passed is they also allow not just the free speech and the segregation of the PAC with no communication with the candidate, but it now allows candidates to solicit unlimited funds to these super PACs, the ones that are friendly to them. And it allows sharing of consultants between candidate committees and their super PACs and attorneys between the candidate committees and the super PACs, which really leave the question open is how independent are these super PACs if that kind of consultant sharing can go on and that the candidate can actually solicit funds into these PACs.
Joe, the Democrats are saying the last thing voters want is more corporate money influencing elections. What's your take?
You know, I haven't followed these bills closely. The one thing that when I was in Lansing and now, I think people are just fed up with all the tweaking of the elections. I mean, elected officials are sent there to do public policy for the greater good. They're not there to always keep changing the rules of how you get elected. That being said, you know, this codifies what the Supreme Court has already put in place. And I think it is what it is. They have ruled that it's a form of free speech and it shouldn't be infringed on.
Well, here's a question for both of you. How does more dark money, that is anonymous donors giving to super PACs to influence elections, how does that serve the interest of democracy? Vicki?
It really doesn't. And that's part of the problem. There has been such a push for so much money into campaigns. In fact, early this week, Representative Dave Trott decided not to run for Congress again, citing wanting to spend more time with his family. But in conversations in the press, he also cited the fact that he just doesn't want to have to keep raising the huge sums of money that are necessary now to get elected. And he was talking about up to $5 million for a congressional race. And we are spending more and more money on elections and getting fewer and fewer results for people and the citizens that they serve. So I'm really concerned about the amount of money that's going into elections, and this just opens the door much wider. I think Joe is right. The public is tired of the amount of money that it costs to run for election. It really creates huge barriers of entry for normal people who want to get involved in the political process, get elected, and serve their community. It's really a shame.
Joe, same question. How does dark money serve the interest of democracy?
Well, I don't disagree with very much of what Vicki said. I think there is way too much money. And I have friends that are in Congress too. And I hear the stories about the dialing for dollars that they have to do so much of their time in order to keep the coffers up and be ready for that next election. And it is a shame. We send them there to work on public policy, same way we send state representatives and senators to Lansing to work on public policy. And the fact that these bills next week are going to the elections committee, you know, we have a whole committee set up to just keep tweaking and changing and refining our election laws. And we shouldn't be continually changing the rules of the game. In this case, we're codifying what the Supreme Court said for both unions and corporations, that funding is free speech. And I don't know another way of doing this. Perhaps at a national level, at a federal level, that's where the law should change first.
I just also want to point out that the term limit law that was passed in Michigan was designed by those that supported it to create a citizen legislature where the average person could run for office, serve for a few years, and then go back into private industry or whatever their career was prior. This really sets up barriers to that whole notion that an average citizen can get it together to run for office when it takes hundreds of thousands of dollars even to win a state senate or a state house seat.
Well, there is research out of Wayne State University that indicated that the term limits have had exactly the opposite effect. In fact, now these super PACs and the corporate interests behind them or the special interests behind them are choosing their own candidates and recruiting them. So I'm not sure how that's helpful to citizen legislature. So, Joe, if the politicians are tired of dialing for dollars, you know, most citizens, I think, find this a little distasteful that money has so much influence on our elections. Why isn't it being cracked down on instead of expanded?
I don't have an answer to that. I never served on the elections committee. I stayed as far away from that side of the game as I could. I went there to do public policy. But I'm frustrated as well, and I agree with Vicky on term limits as well. I voted for term limits, believing that it would set up a system where people weren't afraid to make tough decisions. In reality, it didn't work that way. And I'm a part of that issue as well. I'm just throwing my hat in the ring for the state Senate. So, yeah, maybe that's just part of the bigger problem is how do you get people to Lansing, do their work, serve enough time that they have the experience and not have a revolving door of freshmen coming in, but also get citizen legislators in that know what they're talking about and doing the public's good.
Vicky, last word.
We had an opportunity to really open up the doors to transparency in the state of Michigan and to really clarify what Michigan wanted to see in the election process. And unfortunately, we totally missed the opportunity to be more transparent, to shut the door on dark money, and to make sure that our election process worked for the citizens of the state of Michigan and not for special interest groups and corporations. It's sad.
And Joe, your final words.
You know, Vicky and I are pretty close on this. I unfortunately think the Senate's probably doing the right thing in codifying what the courts have said, but I don't think anybody loves it.
This is the first time I've heard you two in complete agreement.
I think it's the first time since we've known each other.
Yeah, we agree on some things, but this is the first time we're totally there. Yeah.
Thanks to both of you. Hope you have a great weekend.
All right. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
That's Joe Haveman, a former Republican legislator, and Vicky Barnett, a former Democratic legislator. They both served in the House.